The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, starting on verse 1, and I'm told it's page 967 in the Pew Bibles. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give to you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. This is the word of the Lord.
It's a powerful word of God. What it's been doing as we've been hearing this passage the last 2 weeks is essentially this. As at least one of you can't see it, I'll tell you. It's lifting the carpet. That's all we've been doing. Lifting the carpet on your life and mine and what's underneath, in particular with regard to this. This painting here that I showed last week, it's a painting called Sweet Temptation. Is that underneath your carpet? It was under Jesus's. It's under yours, it's under mine. This is a painting, it could be of Sasha, our dog, looking like one of Pavlov's dogs, but there should be a bit of drool coming down as she looks at this cake. It looks so good. As Elvis used to sing, remember Elvis? I'm showing my age here. He said, "It feels so right, so right. So how could it be wrong?" The answer in God's word is actually very easily. The essence of temptation, the three temptations Jesus faces in the desert, are three things that just feel so right, so right. And the battlefield that Jesus and you face, and I face, is in here. The battlefield is in your heart, the place of feelings, the things in our lives that just feel so right. This morning, we're looking at the third temptation Jesus faced in the desert, and we're going to look at this. What exactly was it? If you have a Bible there, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 8 tells us what it actually was. After that, we're looking at what verse 9 teaches. What exactly is this temptation for you under your carpet? And then thirdly, we're looking at how does Jesus model for us what we're meant to do in the face of this temptation? But firstly, well, what exactly was it for Jesus? He is shown, verse 8, and maybe it's in his mind's eye, his imagination, all the riches, all the glittering empires of the world. And the evil one says to him, it's like a whisper in his soul. Do you know that? Jesus did. A whisper in his soul. He says, "You take it. Yeah, you can have it." If you know somebody really, really well, and you're allowed to do this on their life, lift the carpet, there's all sorts of Achilles heels. We all have them. And lurking in all of them is some attraction of the world. It's glittering empires. God's word says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And money and all the splendor and the power and the glittering stuff it can give you is a part of this temptation. But beyond that, for Jesus, is the invitation that's very subtle and very persistent. It's this: to take the easy way out. It's to avoid the cross. That's what the devil is doing with Jesus here. He has come to bring the kingdom of God on earth. As we were led in prayer a few moments ago, we pray, your kingdom come. What does that exactly mean? It means your will, God's will, be done in your life. That's the prayer. And that is only possible because of what Jesus has done on the cross. In a few minutes' time, at the end, you are going to be invited with me to come forward and to receive the signs Jesus gave us. We call it Holy Communion. These signs of bread and wine. The bread representing Jesus' body, which he gave on the cross, and the wine, his blood. And the devil is tempting you to say, well, you don't need to know that. You can just take the easy way out. And at times in his life, this temptation is particularly intense. It says in Luke 4 that the devil left Jesus at an opportune time. That's what he does for you as well. And there are times of weakness, particularly when we're tired or just really, really stressed, when the whisper in your soul to just make a little compromise, to have your cake and eat it, as it were. This is the temptation Jesus is facing as the devil whispers to him, I'll give you what you want without you paying the price. How tempting. His Father's purpose for him was to go the way of the cross. The cross is the most agonizing torture ever devised, I understand, on earth by the Roman Empire. It's Jesus on the cross paying a sovereign price for a sovereign reason, to mean that you and I today can come to God. As we've done in this service, we can ask for the forgiveness of all we've done wrong, that we can give to him, as we've done, all our burdens. And because of Jesus' blood shed on the cross, that is possible. The Lord is here, his spirit is with us, and the devil is defeated because of the cross. And now the devil's saying to him, well, just take the easy way out. You don't need to do that. And every person in every age has the same test. Now, you and I are not called probably to be crucified in this way. That was a unique temptation. But it is the same for us in this way, is to choose comfort rather than Christ. Does this make sense? To choose compromise in a little way rather than integrity. Let me illustrate it this way. In the whole of the New Testament, throughout the whole indeed of human history, you see this like crossroads at which we stand, to take the easy way of comfort or to go the way of Christ. Have a look at this verse. It's taken from the Old Testament, 2 Kings 17, verse 41. And in a way, this sentence sums up so much of the history of the people of God. And it sums up your history and mine at certain moments when we fail a test. Here's what it says. Even while these people, that's God's people, Israel, were worshipping the Lord, they were serving their idols. Now, have you ever experienced this? You know, it's a temptation. Goodness, Jesus faced it. You're Christ-like in this. We are Christ-like in that. Jesus was tempted in this way as well, to have a little bit of God, to worship him. But actually, there's something in our hearts that's keeping God out. And integrity is compromised. The writer of the book called The Purpose-Driven Life and the preacher, Rick Warren, gives a brilliant picture of integrity. I'll show you what it is. This is what integrity is. Can you see that picture? It's a picture of the Titanic being built. And if you look closely, you'll see in its hull, that's the bit that's going to go below the surface, there are different compartments. And the revolutionary design that the Titanic had was that if one compartment in the hull of the ship sprung a leak, it would be okay because the other compartments that were watertight and separate would keep the ship afloat. Yeah? That's a bit of shipbuilding design for you. Now, you might not have a degree in history, but do you recall by any chance how well that idea worked? Someone put it, the unsinkable happens. It's exactly the same in life. You see, we would be tempted, we are all tempted, I think, as Jesus was, to compartmentalize life, to worship the Lord and to serve idols as well in a little bit of it. You can't do this. History, like the Old Testament, is littered with shipwrecks, spiritual shipwrecks, of us trying to do this. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? And that's the essence of the temptation Jesus faces, and that you and I do too, to have our cake and eat it, to take the easy way out. It doesn't work in any area of life. Just a couple of examples. Take one of the tougher tasks in life some of us face, parenting. Take the easy way out every single time. You know, just do what your children want you to do. Just don't have any boundaries at all. It's quite tempting. It doesn't work though. Fitness, another area of life. Try to get fitter than you are, without any pain or suffering. Good luck with that. It's not going to work. My running coach used to say to me, Jonathan, if it's not killing you, it's making you better. Good to know, I thought. But is this really fun? Yeah. Take learning, finally. Any learning. Try to learn French, as I'm trying to do. It's really difficult. Sometimes it's really embarrassing when you say something wrong. Just be so easy not to bother. All these different compartments of life are just signs of the spiritual truth that some things, including the things of eternal value, are really difficult. And if your default is to just choose the easy way, it's going to lead to compromise. Here's the truth. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of feeling good in God's kingdom when it comes from Him. We found that last night. Well, I've got to say, last night sure kills your voice if it's not very good in the first place. But a lot of fun in God's kingdom. But when the fun is a compromise from the devil, when it's from the devil, I think just have a little compromise. That's the devil trying to put a wedge in your spirit between God and yourself. That's what he's trying to do with Jesus, who with his Father is this close on earth. And the devil's saying, well, just move a little bit onto my side. It's a compromise on integrity, a word from integer meaning whole. Serve the Lord only, verse 10. Is what Jesus says. And the word for to serve, latreia in the Greek, is another word for worship. Yeah. And what Jesus is saying, you worship the Lord, I worship the Lord, with every compartment in my life, potentially. That's what God wants. You latreia the Lord in every part of your life. You serve the Lord only, but like the people of God in the Old Testament, we like to worship the Lord, but serve our idols as well. In here, this is where the battlefield is. That's how Jesus' temptation in its essence is the same that you face. So how can we not sink? You hear this and you might think, as the disciples once put it to Jesus, well, if that's the case, who then can be saved? I mean, Jesus, you know how stretched I am, how exhausted I get, how many temptations are out there, how much Achilles' heel is under my carpet. How can I be saved? I might as well give up because I'm like the Titanic, steaming ahead, like here. But not so far in reality from a shipwreck. What does Jesus do? This is what he does. We were looking at this last week. The first thing he does, he calls on the resources of God. What are the resources of God? The Word of God. Every temptation he answers with the Word of God. He calls out the devil's lie. We're not unaware of the devil's schemes. God's word teaches us what the devil's schemes are, the essence of them that everyone faces. He calls, in quoting the truth from God's word about God's kingdom, and says, "Away from me, Satan." He recognizes what's happening here. And afterwards, look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 4, God's angels attended him. It's a way of describing what God wants to do for you and for me in the battle that God knows we face. The restoring of Jesus' soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Do you know that promise? While comfort, when it's a compromise, is a temptation, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God that he loves to give to all those who call on him. Psalm 50 verse 15 says, "In times of trouble, call on the Lord and he will deliver you." And when you come to communion this morning to receive the bread and the wine or the blessing, you're not coming because you've got integrity, or I have, but because you're asking for it. You're not coming because you are perfect, but because Jesus is. And we come to him, the throne of grace, it says in Hebrews 4, with confidence, because we have one who is tempted in every way as we are. And unlike us, he did not sin. He was whole. He was whole. He did not sink. There's a great little phrase in the English language, "There but for the grace of God go I." And that's really, really true. And we come to the throne of grace represented as Jesus gives us with this sign of his grace, the throne of his grace, with confidence because he was without sin. And he is in the restoring our business in every area of our life. We call it communion because we have in common with one another our need of him. In the last couple of weeks, we've mentioned this. It's the address you can write to. It is pastoralcare@allsaintspeckham.org.uk. Or you can talk to someone else who you trust, because what we have in common is our need for God's help. And this address is seen by two of us, myself and Jenny. We've got two qualifications. One, totally confidential. Two, we know different groups and people who are trusted, like home groups, there's a recovery group, different groups where we walk together in the way of Christ and receive his help as we pray and support one another. That's the purpose of this. Does this make sense? You see, angels attended Jesus, and God never leaves Jesus. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is always with him, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit loves to be at work where his people come together, even here. And in communion we say, the Lord is here, his Spirit is with us, not because we're whole, but he is, and he loves to make us whole through his presence. I finish with this story. A man is pulled over by the police and asked to show his papers to prove that he owns the car he's driving in. And he's furious. He says, "What makes you think this isn't my car? Here's my insurance, here's my license, here's all the proof you need." And the police officer says, "Thank you very much, sir, but the reason I pulled you over is because I've been following you for the last mile. I saw at the traffic lights back there how you went into the left-hand lane to jump the queue of everyone going straight ahead. How at the roundabout you cut somebody up, and I saw the hand gesture you gave to the person who hooted their horn at you. And then I saw the fish on the back of your car. It's next to the new wine sticker you got there. And the crucifix hanging from your rearview mirror. And I just assumed you couldn't be the owner of the car. Don't put a fish on your car. Well, I say it's a good thing, but just be a really good driver. You see, this is integrity. This is what integrity is meant to be in every compartment of your life and mine. And what a sweet temptation and a subtle lie of the evil one it is to have our cake and eat it, to compromise. That's what this temptation is. It was for Jesus, it is for you, it is for me. And how we copy Jesus, as we're looking at in the coming weeks, is calling on the resources of God. Ephesians 6 that we're looking at in the coming weeks is called the armor of God. Calling on him and receiving together his help, his strength. As the band come up now, I'm going to invite you, if you wish, to pray this prayer with me. And as we receive communion, if you've got a special need in the battles, the testing that you face, you're invited during the time of communion to be prayed for after you've received. I'm over in this corner here from one of our prayer ministry team who will pray for you in the name of Jesus. This is the prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning as the one who is tempted in every way as we are, but was without sin. Lord Jesus, please make me whole again. Restore me in your image. I am often tempted, as your people always have been, to worship you and yet, in my heart of hearts, to serve idols of all kinds. Help me to worship you with integrity, to serve you only. Receive your comfort, your peace. You who are the restorer of souls, restore my soul.